saith with me, stop. So we're going to begin our second installment of this series, Wisdom and Divine Direction, with the one word, stop. Last week we talked about start. We'll just do a brief review, and we'll talk stop. So Proverbs 4:5-12 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. And so we continue our talk by the grace and help of God and to the glory of God from the subject of wisdom and divine direction. And so it's what we all need from the Lord as we journey this 2019 year. Now, last week we stated that vision is the unfolding and revealing of God's master plan, whereas direction is the steps you take to accomplishment. God's called you to preach. That's wonderful. Glory to God. Serve in a particular area. That's a calling or a vision. But how do you go about it? That's where you need direction. And so we said divine direction is a lifetime demand. You'll never get to a point in life where you no longer require direction. Everybody say direction. So let's briefly review about start, because that's what we talked about. There's things that God wants you to start. So Psalms 119, verse 105, reading out of the Passion Translation, true shining lights guides me in my choices and decisions, and revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. So all of us have the freedom to choose. We have the power of choice. And it's important to note that many of us probably perhaps make hundreds of decisions a day. So we asked this question last week, in light of the new year, what must I decide to start? Then you fill in the blanks. Now keep in mind, we shared that decision and a quality decision means cut off. Incision means to cut in. Excision means to cut out. Circumcision means cut around. But decision means to cut off. So when will you decide to start living by your decisions and not by your emotions? Adam Camus once said, life is the sum of all your choices. In other words, our life is constructed by our words and composed of our choices. The decisions you make this year and every day this year should start with receiving divine direction from God and his word. What does the word say, or what does the Lord say about this? That means you need to make a decision based on what the word says, or what does the Lord say to you specifically? Amen. Because you need wisdom and divine direction. Everybody say it with me, wisdom and divine direction. So, friends, decisions we make today determine the stories we tell and the success and victories we experience in our lives tomorrow. Most people look at others who are successful and figure out they probably just made a handful of big decisions, really important decisions. But the opposite is true. The small choices no one sees that results in big impact everyone wants. Amen. And so you're one decision away from changing your life forever. Particularly if it's the choice between, do I follow Christ, like the song was, I will follow, or will I follow trends and habits and fads of the day? Because you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside. And when you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. Amen. So you're one decision away from changing your life. One decision to start. Your best decision ever is the one you're about to make right now. Think of life in this new year, 2019, as we said, as a multiple choice test. If you courageously start each day by opening your heart to the Lord and fully following Him and His Word, I believe God will greatly lead you step by step. See, the choice is yours, though. When will you start opening your heart every day to the Lord and saying, I will follow fully your word and your will for my life? See, you have the freedom in Christ to choose. You've got the power of choice. See, if you really want wisdom and divine direction from God, you have to start spending time with Him and spending time in His word. If you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. If you're not ready to start facing opposition to your obedience and following God, then you're not ready to start being used by God. You must decide what matters most, what matters now, and what matters to the plan and will of God to you. So when it comes to the will of God in our life, for our lives, God cares about first who before do. God cares about who before do. And we read the scripture. I'll read it again. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7, New Living Translation. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7, New Living. God's will is for you to be holy. Now, how many of you will encourage me and by a show of hands and say publicly by raising your hand, say, you believe God has called me, Pastor Ed, to be pastors? Okay, all right, I can go home and not be encouraged. Okay. But God cares about who before do. Amen. So God calls first us to be holy. That means there is positional holiness, that we're holy, we've been set apart for God in Christ. But then there's behavior holiness. That means we live like we're sanctified and separated unto God in our lifestyle. See, it's unholy to live like you don't even belong to God. Like God is not in control. Like Jesus is not Lord. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Now, He says to us, be holy, so stay away from what? Sexual sins. If you're having sex outside of the context of covenant marriage, then you're not living holy. Well, Pastor, that's old fogey stuff. No, if you're a fornicator and adulterer, that's not holy. Amen. Being holy means you're spiritually pure, sexually pure, and socially pure. That means you don't walk around causing problems in everybody's family and everybody's lifestyle. You're not a problem at work, at school. You don't give the teachers a bad time. Amen. You're not a bad boy. You're not a bad girl. You're not a bad employee. You're doing it as unto what? The Lord. Praise the Lord. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor. So when you control your body, you live in holiness and honor. Not in lustful passions like the pagans who do not know God in his ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in the matter of violating his wife. For the Lord avenges such sins as Solomon. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called you to live a holy lives, not impure lives. Now, we call it, the grace standard. Jesus said, if you look in lust, you commit adultery. So you got to be holy in what you look at. For guys, you got to bounce your eyes. Because you're eye-wired and you look. And you look at that body parts, and you're lusting after body parts, and you dishonor your wife or your family or even your mother if you're not married, and because you're not holy. Well, praise the Lord. Ladies, I'm an equal opportunity rebuker. So, ladies, you got to live holy in what you look at. You can't spend all that time in that book and not with your husband. Amen. Amen. You can't put other things before him except the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Just a little plug there. Hallelujah. During the earthly ministry, Jesus didn't talk a lot about job and vocation. He talked mainly about two things, character and calling. See, he calls you to be something before you do something. Who are you? Fully following Jesus and living like Jesus is more important than what you do vocationally or as a business or career endeavor. Some people always talk about what they're doing. They never talk about what they're becoming. Everybody say it with me. Who? Before do. So start by making a decision to be the who in the present before you do in the future. And I want to emphasize to you, friends, the power God has given us, the God-given power to become. You have the power to become this year who God intended for us to be and you to be. So decide to start living holy unto the Lord every day and in every way, spiritually, sexually, socially, holy. You got to look about, am I running around unholy friends? People that don't serve God, don't love God, and don't belong to God. Because evil company or evil associations will corrupt you. Hallelujah. Second, God cares about the why before the what when it comes to the will of God for your life. Motives matter. Proverbs 16:2 tells us in a New Living, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. There's been many a times where I thought I was doing it for the right reasons, and I found out that there was a selfish motive behind it. There was a manipulative motive behind it. So you got to have the why before the what, because some people just do stuff. I'm just going to do this. But you can even cook dinner for your family with the wrong motive. Hallelujah. God's will is for you to be someone before you are doing something. Y'all getting the picture? When you know who to trust, you will always be headed in the path of divine direction. If you trust the Lord with your why, he will bless you in your what. So let's not talk about stop. Everybody say stop. Melania Marchetta once said, stop, revive, survive. Some of us need to stop. That one word is so revelatory. Amen. Friends, God, through his wisdom, gives us the power to discern. So start with the power to become and then stop to harness the wisdom power to discern. Because if you're going to change for the better this year, you have to learn and discern what and when to stop. Amen. So he gives us the power to discern which is the wisest decisions and which are the unwise decisions. Wisdom is God's navigational tool for helping us make decisions about the life we want to live and he wants us to live. Philippians 1:9-11 says, and I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Everybody say discernment. So you walk in love, but you have wisdom with that. Because you need to have wisdom who you love. You don't need to be giving out the L word to everything and everybody. Amen. We're told to love God and love people, but if people don't belong to God and aren't your wife and family members, spiritual family members, you need to be saying, I love you. Because that's how folks get caught up. In affairs, in premarital sex. Yo, baby, I love you. Oh, I just love this game. Oh, I just love this car. You're releasing your affection and your love on things that God did not intend. that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now listen to it in the Passion Translation. If I continue to pray for your love and grow, your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into rich revelation and spiritual insight in all things. How many things? All things, spiritual insight. You need to have spiritual insight of all the relationships that you now presently embrace. You need to have spiritual insight. Father God, is this person in my past, needs to be in my past, so I need to stop this relationship? Or is it in my present, good for my present or my future? When I was in high school, when all the boys wanted to hang out, play basketball, which was good, but when they wanted to smoke dope, it wasn't good. I had to discern when to stop hanging out with the boys. Because guess what? If all 10 of them was drug pushers and drug users, guess who was number 11? If I'd have kept hanging around, I'd have been number 11. Amen? All the boys running up, being wild, being broken and broke and having babies before they got married. And so I had to what? I had to, everybody say that word, stop. I had to stop. Amen. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense, without until the unveiling of Christ, and you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness which are found in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, bringing great praise and glory to God. So here's some suggestions for you to consider. Are there stop signs God is showing you to obey this year? Now, one, a simple one, was Exodus 18, 17 through 19, where Moses' father-in-law was telling him, you need to stop doing ministry the way you've been doing it, because he's not good. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing which you do is not good. Is there things in your life you're doing that's not good that you need to stop? Both you and these people are with you and will surely wear yourselves out. You wearing your family out. You wearing your finances out. Why? Because the stop sign is saying stop. Listen to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, and you may do, so you may bring the difficulties to God. So basically, Jethro was giving him the simple, wise instruction to discern, stop controlling, empower others. Stop feeling like you have to carry the load for your entire house and make up for the difference and take the consequences of other people's responsibilities in your life. That's why you're broken, and that's why you're broke. Because they do the crime, but they don't have to do the time. Whew. Preach it, Pastor. You're doing real good. I'll turn around and preach to the wall. Someone was praying the time for somebody else's crime. You need to stop. Is God calling you to abort, abandon, and abolish something to stop one thing that helps you live the story he wants you to tell? Sometimes we can't tell the story. Look how good God is. Look what the Lord has done. Because we tangle up, tied up, and wrapped up with wicked, unwitting people. And God says, stop. Is it quitting time in your heart or your spirit? In your overindulgence on social media? Is it quitting time for overindulgence on TV, tell you how to vision? Fast food. Lord will tell you, stop eating out 4 or 5 times a week. Take it back to once, because you're going to protect and provide for your health and your wealth. Get off your blessed assurance. That means you're lazy behind. And and cook. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Is it quitting time to put the sugar away? and the soda's down. Because that's why your feet hurt, your legs hurt, your back hurt. Well, praise the Lord. I've stepped into all in the quicksand today. Praise the Lord. Is it time to clearly discern that stop in your spirit for that unhealthy emotional or thinking habit? You sit around the house and worry. You sit around the house and wander, let your mind go wander, and then you let your mind go wicked. I'm here to tell you that by the power of Jesus Christ, his name and his blood, that you can stop anything he has called you to stop. If Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior, then the same Spirit who raised him from the dead dwells in you, and he will give you the power to stop. Everybody say stop. Now, there's many stop signs, but there's three big ones I want to convey to you as we close and wrap this up. You get this today? You getting something out of this? Proverbs 4:7 says this. I'm reading out of New Living now. New Living, Proverbs 4:7. Get wisdom. It is the wisest thing you can do. What? Listen, look at that. Look at that. It is the wisest thing you can do. Look at somebody next to you and say, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. That means you ain't going to fall off the wagon and have good judgment. That's why you teach your children right from wrong. But you don't teach them from your opinion. You teach them from the word. Come on now. You teach them from the word, and you teach them how to obey God and exercise wisdom. It's unwise. I knew it when I was a high school teenager. And running around these boys, and they be drinking that fifth of whiskey and stuff. I didn't want them to drink it. My daddy was a preacher. I had a call of God on my life. I knew it. But I'm running around these guys driving the car drunk. It wasn't wise. So I had to do what? Everybody said, stop. Now, here's an illustration. If somebody gave you today and called you up and said, I'm going to give you a $50,000 pay raise for the same job you're doing in a place in the country you like, would you take it? Raise your hand. Okay. What about $100,000? For the same job, you like it, you enjoy doing it, you're good at it, and the place you want to live, let's say Florida Beach. Okay, hands coming up now. Now, I got you, some of you. See, money and pay raise is not the first, it's not the final say as a leading and a direction from God. Because what does God give us? He gives us wisdom, the power to discern. Amen. I was working with, y'all know the company I was working with before, and they offered me $38,000 pay raise a year. That's over $3,000 a month, by the way. A pay raise, that's pretty good. And then they offered me $60,000 cash. They said, go. But how many know you have to stop? Amen. And have the power to discern. Is this the will of God for my life? Now, God, the will of God is prosperity. The will of God is increase. But money's not a leading. Right. A pay raise is not the discernment that has the final say that says, this is God because they're giving me money. You can go work for hired killers that take you away from God, take you away from the family of God. I know people that follow money, and they're not following Christ anymore because they're following money. Are you listening to me? So there's a struggle, I'm told, that social scientists say that the millennial generation particularly is challenged with. It's called the struggle to decide. It's the problem of too many options. Now, when Pastor Cynthia and I were coming up, for example, on television, you had probably 6 or 9 channels. She said she had only had four. And if you had the big old box that looked like, man, it was 1,000 pounds. And something with a little rabbit ear antenna with aluminum foil on it. So you can pick up some channels. And it was, when it wasn't raining, you probably had a few channels you can look at clearly without the fuzz. Well, no high definition, wasn't no anything like that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But today, most TVs got 400 channels or more. And see people flipping through channels. Why? They can't decide. It's the struggle to decide. And most of them struggle, you know, when their time, talent, I'm deciding what to do with my time. When Jesus and God in his words have said, this is what you do with your time. They're giving you wisdom direction. But the choice is yours. With my time, am I going to serve God? What to do with my talent? With my talent, am I going to serve God? And then the money, then all these options come through the TV, come through the app, come through the pop-up notifications, push notifications. They come up to you, say, buy me, because I guarantee satisfaction, pleasure. I guarantee satisfaction, pleasure. And you say, I don't know what to do. And then when it comes to tithing, you say, I'm going to opt out of tithing. See, this struggle makes us indecisive, which is not wise. Because we're told by the scripture we just read, Proverbs 4:7, the back half, develop good judgment. I thank God for my dad. I thank God for my mama because she taught me how to tithe. And my daddy taught me good judgment. Sometimes it was by force. Ain't nothing good happening after 9:30, boy. You need to be in the house. I didn't make sense to me earlier. You know, because when you're a teenager and stuff, you argue. You think, man, you know, when you're young, you know, dad's hero. Dad's everything. He's almost a demigod. But then when you get teenager, you think, oh, I know better. They don't know nothing. And you test the rules. I tested a few of them. Praise God. My dad was undefeated in the testing. Hallelujah. So he taught me good judgment. Who to hang around. What to run with. What choices to make when you're in different situations. I thank God for him. That's what parents should be doing. Teaching them wisdom. Right now, millennials and teenagers struggle. What do I do? Do I date this person? What? Come on, dumb. You make a decision. The word of God says clearly. Discern what you're supposed to do. Amen? Because indecisiveness is not good because the devil will sway you. He'll manipulate you. So Christ has given us the power to discern. 1 Corinthians 1:24 said, but those who call to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is our wisdom. We got God-given wisdom. In whom are hidden are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. So we can't run around stupid. We can't run around dumb. We have the power to discern what to do. There's also a paralyzing, a punishing, well-meaning people. That's the struggle for perfection. For example, many people wrongfully get bit by the illusion of perfection. That's why they stand and dreaming, staring at their social media page. Because they're looking through the window of everyone else's highlights. And they touch up their picture, and you go, oh, how they look so good. Man, they didn't sprinkle it. I was asking my daughter that. I mean, she has a good picture up. But I said, wow, what'd you do? And she told me what she did. But they make up those things, and they make them look illusions of perfection. You ain't got no blotches, no wrinkles, or nothing. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Amen. So we're viewing people's photos and videos, highlights of happy times, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And then they compare other people's highlight reel to their own behind-the-scenes reality. And this creates false judgment that their life sucks. My life sucks. The struggle for perfection causes people to make poor and unwise decisions because people want to be like who they're following on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. They want to be like who they're following. But you got to follow him. You're born an original. Don't die a copy. In talking with pastors for almost 14 years of being a pastor, I've come to ascertain that most asked questions people ask, what does God want me to do? And they're waiting for God to tell them step by step, open up heaven, rain down, and visit them and say, son, here's the instructions for you, and give them a whole page of notes. And says, here you do today, this is what you do tomorrow, this is what you do every day. Amen. I'm coming to tell you that doesn't happen. But what does God give you? Wisdom. What he gives you with wisdom? The power to discern good and evil. That's part of spiritual maturity. That's why you need to come to church, because you need to get wisdom. The word of God is the wisdom of God in print. So you trump everything else you think and believe and what other people say to put God, what he says, first. This is what God says about it. So you don't have to create nothing. You don't have to generate anything. You just say, I discern this is God and this is not God. And then he gave you the power to choose, and you make the choice for God. Hallelujah. That's why he told us, I set before you, Deuteronomy 30, 19. Put that up with you. Could you put Deuteronomy 30, 19 real quick? Put that up real quick. I set before you life and death, blessing. What is he telling you? You got to choose. But he's telling you, this is what you choose. Choose life that you and your house and descendants may live. So some people are indecisive. When God says you have to choose not the right thing, but the wise thing. And wise wisdom starts with God's word and God's will for you. Amen? So too many people struggle to decide and discern God's wisdom and direction. They just want to open up heaven and they want step by step. But look at Proverbs 2. 6 and 7, he said, for the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives it? Wisdom. The Lord. For out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield for those that walk uprightly. So what should we stop? We could say a whole bunch of stuff here. We could say stop to many things, like, when are you going to decide to stop sexually sinning? Repent and live holy. I'm talking about those mental and emotional affairs. Would you look on the TV or look on the internet? Like we said last week, you know, pornography makes more money than all the sports entertainment industry combined. 2 years ago, there were 300 porn sites started every single day. It's a trillion-dollar industry. Why? Because people are looking and lusting. And they say, well, I'm not going to have an affair. Yeah, you are on the internet. Amen. So when are you going to decide to stop overspending and going in debt? Living within your means. Live on less than you make. Live on your live with a budget. Preach it, Pastor. You're doing real good right now. Don't quit on me now. Don't stop on me now. When are you going to decide to stop skipping and missing church? When the Lord directed us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25 is not a suggestion. It's a directive. Missing church is a big deal. When are you going to decide to stop being lazy and improve your physical health? Everybody just wants God to heal them, but they want to keep eating all the tacos and Doritos and the sugar and the sodas and the candy and all that stuff, all that fat. God said, when are you going to get your body in line? When are you going to decide to stop overeating and overindulging in sugar, sweets, and sodas? Now, there's three big stop signs that I want to suggest to you that contribute to directional wisdom. Everybody say directional wisdom. These stops contribute to directional wisdom. First stop sign is walk. One word, walk. Everybody say it with me, walk. Proverbs 13:20, he says, look at what it says up here. He who walks with wise men will be what?
Wise.
But the companion of who? So who you walking with? Who you walking with? Who are your companion and your friends? Now, you know if they're wise, unwise, or foolish, if they haven't made a choice and decision to live for Jesus. You got to cut it off. You got to stop it. Amen. It's unwise to date someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't serve Jesus, doesn't love Jesus. Because they'll take your heart, turn your heart away from God. But she's pretty. He's pretty. Come on now. In college, Pastor Cynthia knows because she knows about this person. But I was dating one lady and wasn't engaged to her, but, you know, gave her a promise ring, half carat diamond. Worked all summer for that. So I'm trying to be nice because my queen is right here on the front row. But she turned her heart away from God. Now, when she came to church, when I first met her, she had just come out of church. She was shouting and jumping and emotional and crying and all for God. But her heart cooled off. So your dating parameters is not to discern are they a Christian or not, or do they go to church or not. Your decision parameters are, do they love Jesus? I had a call of God on my life. I made a vow to her and the Lord that, you know, we're going to be virgins. We're not going to get involved in sexual relationships. Is this too much for y'all? Y'all good? Okay. And so you made a decision. But she didn't. She went away from God. She started cheating with another guy. Got pregnant by another guy. Well, I knew she was walking away from God. Well, the Lord didn't have to come down and say, son, stop hanging around that girl. She's not good for you. No, I had to discern that this is not good. And I had to decide to what? Everybody say the word, stop the relationship. When are you going to be man enough, woman enough to stop? Kicking against God's will and God's word. When it comes to people. Of your closest buddies, how many are serving God? Perhaps you want to be good at three things. Spiritually good as a Christian. Good as a husband or a wife. Good financially. However you hang around people who don't love God, nor do they serve God, perhaps they hang around bitter, divorced people and cheating and adulterous women and men. Are you hanging around the wild, the broken, the broke? Because if you hang around gossips and liars and cheaters and stealers and people who are sexually promiscuous, those and people who cause strife, discord, and division, guess who you're going to be like? He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of what? Fools. It's unwise. It's foolish to hang around fools. Because you're basically saying, I'm drinking strychnine and poison. I'm destroying my life. If all your six friends are broken and wild, guess who's number seven? They said you're the average of the five people closest to you. Because relationships are like escalators. Some take you up. Few take you up. Most get you stuck, and most take you down. Your choice. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Stop fooling yourself. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and characters. See, friends, those closest to you will determine your outcome in life. You will receive both the consequences and the rewards of those closest to you. The quality of your life is greatly dependent upon those who you call friend. You call somebody friend and they're not even saved and they're not even living for God or don't even love God, love the Lord. Well, I know what that means socially and contextually, but spiritually, it could be damaging. See, it's impossible to live right and live wisely when you have the wrong, unwise friends. Y'all quiet today. Can I get to another two? Y'all good? So when will you decide to stop walking with unwise and foolish people? Second stop sign. Because remember, when you disobey the stop sign, you get punished. They write you up for that, get you a ticket. Second stop sign is ask. This is all under the context of the power to discern. You got to ask. You got to ask when you don't have wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So when will you decide to stop doing and deciding big and small things in your life without asking for wisdom? Prayer is proof that you trust God, that you trust his plans, that you trust him as your Lord and Savior. That means you trust God. You include the Lord. Don't exclude him. So stop doing things without asking. Don't say, I got this. I can handle this. Amen. Unfortunately, too many people in pressure and problematic situations make decisions to relieve the pressure or make unwise choices to remedy the problem without asking God. Why not ask God for wisdom? When will you stop being hasty and unwise or foolish? Everybody say stop. Psalms 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway of your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Amen. Psalms 32, a beautiful verse. He said, I'll guide you and watch over you. He won't let you fall. Just like you're riding a bike for the first time. He'll be your training wheels. He'll catch you when you fall. But you got to let him be Lord. You got to let him be God in your life. Third stop sign. We close with this. Decide. Everybody say decide. So when you decide to stop and pray and think wisely before you decide to date that person. You know, going back to Pastor Cynthia and I'll make sure I get the story right. But even though we both had dreams about each other getting married before we dated, actually. And so we didn't date just for playing around. We dated for courtship. That's better to do that. Wisdom. And so, but her family and my family were both kind of mouthy about it. All because she went to a Baptist church and I went to a Pentecostal church. And they said, well, that's like oil and water. That don't make it. And they said, well, your family is, got a bad reputation, because the Willis family, my uncles and them, trashed our name. The drug dealers, drug users, having babies and all this kind of crazy stuff, alcoholics. And so they just said, they told her, that family, you don't want to get involved in that family. So we had all these pressure from both sides. So how, everybody say the power to discern. Wisdom gives you the power to discern. So I had to drop to my knees. I still remember it today. I dropped to my knees. The first time God spoke to me through tongues and interpretation was on my bedside, discerning whether to go forward with the marriage or not, even against all odds and all opposition. And the Lord spoke to me. He didn't tell me to marry. He said, she is good. He spoke to me through the word. He that findeth a wife finds a good thing. He said, she's a good thing. And I can testify after 13, she's a good thing. She's a great thing. And he said, she'll be good for you as a partner in ministry. But he still didn't make a decision for me. I had to choose based on his wisdom and discern that the Lord knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he quoted me another scripture, which was in Genesis 2, where he said, he said, I will make him a helpmeet. And he said, I have made her to be a helpmeet. Amen. Now, if you go off all the outside interference and noise, you go with the popular opinion, you won't make the right decision. But everybody said you got the power to decide, then discern. Amen. Praise God. So, if when you're going to decide, who to date, to spend that money, to choose that school or major. You're getting ready to graduate from high school. You got to make a decision what school to go to. There's lots of options. But God giving you the power to discern and decide, to accept that job. What's your decision-making process in accepting that job? Who to marry, to relocate or not. Remember, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3:5-8, if you can put it up there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways. How many ways? All your ways. Acknowledge him. Put him first. Ask him. Include him. And he will what? Direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you got it all. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And he goes on to say, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. Amen. That Karate Kid movie in 2016, I believe, one of the masters, the guy is called Matt, I might be pronouncing it right, Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi, and he talks to called Danielson, right? Yeah. And you remember that phrase in the movie? He says, Danielson, we must talk. I can't necessarily imitate, but he said, Danielson, we must talk. He said, walk on road. Walk on right side, safe. Walk on left side, safe. Walk in the middle, sooner or later you get squashed like a grape. Some people have faith, but they're afraid to move because they can't make a decision. They can't make a decision. So they stay in the middle of the road. They try to play life safe. They say, well, I'm not going to go all the way out for God. I'm just going to float in the straddle in the middle of the fence. Well, Danielson, you get squashed like a grape. So make the choice. Make the call. Where there's no moral command, God gives you wisdom to choose. You getting ready to walk in a car with a bunch of sexually promiscuous girls? The Bible doesn't say, so-and-so, don't get in a car with a whole bunch of sexually promiscuous girls. Don't go over a sexually promiscuous girl's house. You don't have to spell it out for you. Make a decision. Have discernment. Amen. God gives you wisdom to choose. Amen. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for wisdom to choose. And he gives you love and trust so you can decide. Even times Paul had to decide. The scripture simply implied and prayed. He prayed and thought about and discerned the wisdom of God on what decision to make. In 1 Thessalonians 3:1, he said, when we could no longer stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. They didn't travel back to Thessalonica. They sent Timothy. Sometimes you got to make the decision, but God gives you the power to discern so you can make a decision. Praise the Lord. I had to make a decision to leave the fast-track army career to go follow God at Rhema. I told you about the $38,000 pay raise and the $60,000 cash incentive to take a job. I had to make a decision to say, I'm not going to follow money. I'm going to follow the master. My assignment is to pastor. I'm not doing this for money. Amen. I'm doing it because I've called to do this. That's what God created me to be. Are you listening to me? You got to learn and discern when to stop. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God.